You are listening to Visionaries Wrestling Network, providing your perfect podcast experience.
All right, this is the MGB Nova Pro Review Z6, One Crazy Summer from the 12th of August 2016 from the JCC. Clearly we weren't there, Mason, because these are classic reviews, so let's get straight on with it. Match 1 was a dark match between Ken Dixon and, well, Bobby Shields initially. All right, go ahead.
So I knew Bobby Shields was in the WWE, but not the TNA and Ring of Honor. That was new news.
I didn't know that either. Yeah, I certainly didn't know about... I think I knew one of the two, but I can't remember which one. But yeah, when they were listing that... Was that Brian that was doing that on the announcements?
No, that was Bobby complaining that he was in the first match.
Oh, it was his promo, wasn't it? Yeah, that's right. Yeah, no, I didn't know that either. I guess that's one where that probably would have been sensible. If I'd have written that down in my notes, I could have probably gone back and looked it into... actually, I did write it down, but I wanted to get you started in case you didn't mention it.
He said that there was no bonus match for them, and then Sage Phillips comes out. So Sage did a suicide dive under the second rope, and Ken calls Buff Ref Todd, and Ken Dixon
wins. Todd Myers?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Ken Dixon wins with a move that looked a bit like the End of Days.
Okay, well, I got a few other things. When Ken Dixon was introduced, it was like, from ever, wherever he damn well pleases. That kind of reminded me again of Orange Cassidy. I know we talked about somebody like that recently. I guess there's a few people have very similar sort of introductions. One thing I did mention that you didn't put there, we thought we saw Dan in the corner as well. But we weren't sure, and it kind of, camera moved around too quick, and we never got a chance to see again. Also, Brian didn't claim to know who that person was when Sage Phillips came out. Sage had to whisper into his ear. You couldn't hear what he said. It was inaudible. And then he announced him as Sage Phillips. So this was clearly Sage Phillips' debut. The thing that surprised me most about this was Sage Phillips looked older than I've ever seen him before, even though this is one of the earliest matches he's ever done. He had a big beard, though. So I don't know if that was significant. I know there's kind of like a joke, like if you have a beard when you shave your face off, you look like a baby boy kind of thing. It makes you look a lot younger. So I don't know. But yeah, Sage actually, to me, looked older than what I thought. Did you put who the winner was?
Yes. It was Ken Dixon with a move that looked a bit like the End of Days.
That was right. Alright, match 2 was Ryo, I think is what the commentators are going with again, so I'm going to go with the same thing. Once again with Brandon Money Green, and he was facing Tracer X. This was actually Ryo making his singles debut, because previous ones he's actually been tagging with Brandon Green.
And I thought they turned on each other.
It kind of looked like it. He was certainly berating him at the end of the last one, but... I don't know. It could have been one of those where they had an argument and then it was like, we didn't really mean what we said and all right, let's get back. Yeah, I don't know.
Tracer and Ryo, they wrestle holding hands for a while and there was four small packages and then roll around in a ball around the ring for a while and...
There was pin after pin after pin for a while, yeah.
Money grabs the ropes while Tracer tries to do a move off of him and makes him fall and... There was a huge enziguri by Tracer X, and Tracer wins with a second rope DDT.
And I think I posted on Twitter for this one. I think I've only seen four matches from Tracer X now. I know he was in the last Nova Pro we reviewed a month ago, and I've seen him at VCW. We made his debut in the Commonwealth Cup, and I think he was in that February VCW one we've seen as well. And every match I see, I'm like, whoa, he's really impressive. I need to see more. Now, I've actually started looking. I know on IWTV, you can type in a wrestler's name, and it brings up like all their matches. You can do the same on PowerSlam TV. I didn't actually know that. So while we were preparing for one of our interviews that we're actually going to do next week, Mason, with like Max Morrison, Max was having a unique spelling, M-A-X-X. When you typed in Max Morrison, it just basically brought up all the VCW matches for you straight away. I was like, this is great. So you can kind of... I'm going to have to do the same thing with Tracer X. That's kind of a unique name. I can't think of anyone else who has the name Tracer. Like if it was just T-R-A-C, it could be Tracy Williams or it could be something. But yeah, I think Tracer X is new. So very impressed with Tracer X. Definitely want to see more of his matches. All right, match three was a tag team match. I think we've seen all these people before. Dan O'Hare and Reed Bentley, and it was against Frankie Picard and Mecha Mercenary. I'm trying to remember at the start, who did Jackson say that Mecha Mercenary looked like? Can you remember? Because he came down and watched, he started to watch some of this one. And we were like, nah, that's Mecha Mercenary.
I don't know.
All right, I don't remember either then. Okay, go ahead.
So Dan has thumbtacks stuck in the bottom of his boot, and Frankie does a suicide dive, and Reed wins with a Reed Awakening.
Was this match like 1 minute or something?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. It must have been short, because I wrote down on here, I didn't get anything for this match at all, because I put, make sure you mention that you were busy on Twitter. And something, I can't remember how it came up. Oh, I know what was happening. When we logged into this match, I saw the Life is a Box of Chocolates, because we just interviewed Commander Man Dan the previous week. So his picture was on the front. And he talked about, on that interview that we did with him, his debut was literally like 1 minute or 2 minutes or something. And he was on the poster. And I was like, whoa. So normally posters come out before the event, right? So if you're putting Commander Man Dan on that poster, you assume that he's going to have a big match. He's going to be a big part of this. 1 minute. So we clicked on that to look to see what else. There's some really good matches within that card. I know he mentioned that Sugar Dunkerton was on that card, and he was. There was a lot of other really cool names. Any of those Nova Pro tryout shows, I think, are winners as far as I'm concerned. But yeah, I think we counted how many episodes. We still have quite a few until we get to that one. But yeah, I remember you talking about the push pin, or whatever you want to call it, in the shoe. And yeah, I don't remember much about this one, except for these are all pretty big guys.
Yeah.
There was a lot of running into each other, like post to post and coast to coast. And then they would just like put an arm out and go, ooh! But yeah, it was heavy hitting for sure. All right, match four, singles match. This was Samantha Heights and Brittany Blake. And now I was thinking we hadn't seen Brittany Blake in a while. So I was like, oh, I'm going to go look her up. She was actually at Flying V in December. But we weren't actually there for that match. I tend not to remember the ones when we weren't there. The ones when we watched them on TV, it doesn't mean as much as when you're actually there. So I think I've forgotten about that one. I did see, though, a few days before that match at Flying V, she had a WSU World title match. It was actually vacant. I don't know what happened to the previous holder. Against Chris Statlander. That I definitely would like to see. Even more, you'd like to see this, Mason, because it was actually at CZW, Cage of Death 21. So I'm not sure if that one's actually out on PowerSlam or IWTV, but I'm certainly going to take a look. And her last match before the COVID-19 break was that WSU World title, where she defended her title against Tasha Steeles. And that was actually on March 15th, 2020. That must be one of the last matches that actually happened. Remember you broke up from school on, I think it was the 13th, and then the Saturday was the 14th. So yeah, that must have been one of the last matches that happened. All right, go ahead.
So the winner gets to face Mia Yim, and Samantha makes everyone shush for the chop, but she just pokes the eyes instead, and Samantha tapped to an armbar.
That's all. I'm not even the person that's writing down the match, and I had that exact sentence almost word for word that you had. I thought that was pretty funny that she actually did that. I got one more thing that I'm surprised you didn't pick up on from commentary as well. It said Brittany Blake defeated Tony Nese in one of the matches. And I was like, that sounds a really strange match to put together. And that was another one where I forgot to go back and look. I have been super busy this week. This is the last week, although it's only third quarter for schools, this is the last week. And people have got to try and make up grades as much as they can. And with not being in school, everything's got to be done by email. And trying to coordinate that's just been a pain. So yeah, this is another one where... Because you actually said, I think this is the latest we've ever recorded for an MGB show. Because the fact that we've got to record it, we were still watching the show on the Saturday. We're recording on the Saturday. And then we've still got to find time to edit and get everything done before we send it in on the Sunday. So yeah, I totally forgot about that comment as well. That might be one also where I got to go back and look to see what happened. Okay, match five is a singles match. Eric Royal and Tracy Williams. Now, I went back and looked up Tracy Williams because obviously Eric Royal we've talked about multiple times. Tracy Williams we saw several times when we used to go to Nova Pro, but I think this might have been his actual debut as far as I could tell. His average rating on Cage Match, 8.89. That's the highest I've ever seen for anybody on Cage Match. That's pretty impressive. He had 37 votes, 22 of them were 10 star, 10 of them were 9 star, and then three jerks put him at 5 out of 10. Like, I can't understand how anybody could possibly give him 5 out of 10. The last comment was actually December 2018, so I think that's before he even moved to Ring of Honor. Here's some of the ratings. 10 out of 10. An amazing technical wrestler. Hot sauce, Tracy Williams is one of Evolve's best, with amazing matches in his repertoire and amazing ring skills. Surely the indie wrestler to watch out for. Sure enough, pretty around that time was, I think he was when he was Independent Wrestling TV champion as well, so that's pretty accurate right there. 5 out of 10. He might be a good wrestler, but he's way overrated. I can't believe a guy with literally no charisma and a limited in-ring skills gets this high rating. He's that kind of wrestler that you watch his matches because you're watching the show that's it. I totally disagree with that statement. I always like to watch Tracy Williams' matches. I don't know where that person's coming from. Next person, 5 out of 10. This guy, I don't know about him. He says he is hot sauce, but I'm not sure what that entails. He appears to be a competent pro wrestler with no resemblance to hot sauce in form nor spirit. I thus cannot give him a ringing endorsement here. 5 out of 10. Now, if I think in a hot sauce, I'm thinking like that when you put hot sauce on food, it makes your mouth go on fire. Fire is a connection of something that's high energy. I don't know what that person's thinking. I have no problems with the nickname Hot Sauce. It makes sense to me. And the last one was 10 out of 10. He's always been good, but in the past few years, he went from being very green to being one of the hottest in-ring talents in the world. Now, I also went to look at some of his titles that he's held. He was the AIW Absolute Champion Mason as well. July 2018 till February 2019. He was the Powerbomb TV Independent Champion from February 2018 till the end of the year on 2018. I think that's when he signed with Ring of Honor. I think that's why we missed it. He was also the Evolve Tag Team Championships with Fred Yehi. He was the AIW Tag Team Champion with Tyson Dukes, who we were watching. I think we saw one of his matches recently, or his name came up. And he was also an Evolve Tag Team Champion with Drew Gulak. So he's had some pretty big championships or belts with other people as well. All right, talk about this match.
Somebody on the card wrestled Tyson Dukes.
Oh, is that how it came up? I knew that name had come up, but I couldn't remember because we were talking about Canada when we were there last year. Yeah.
Eric and Tracy keep reversing arm locks, and Tracy bridges with Eric on top of him. Eric lifts his hand up at the one on the sleep count, and Hot Sauce couldn't roll up Eric, and Eric gets the pin. Just by, like, plopping on top of Tracy when he tries to roll Eric up.
And this was still at this point where Eric is still unbeaten at Nova Pro, and that kind of gets brought up every single match as well. Like, is this the person that's going to stop it? Not this time. Now, after with him going to Ring of Honor, I know we haven't seen him since that, so I went back and looked at some of that. He's actually been wrestling mainly as a tag team wrestler with a team called Lifeblood with Mark Haskins. I think we did see Mark Haskins when we went to Baltimore. And as far as I can tell, his debut for Ring of Honor was November 4th against Jonathan Gresham. And then he started wrestling more regularly from mid-December 2000. I put 2019 here. I think that's supposed to be 2018 onwards. And then once he was into 2019, he was wrestling a lot more frequently. That's obviously why he dropped the Power Slam. I didn't even think about it at the time. The Powerbomb TV title. Because it wasn't IWTV until like the next year. June 1st, 2019, he actually had a Ring of Honor World title match against Matt Taven. He didn't win. That was in Kent, Washington, USA. So yeah, he's had something. That was a pretty big ascent actually, within 6 months to actually get a world title championship. But yeah, it looks like he's mainly wrestling as a tag team right now. Match 6. Oh, this follows on from last on Nova Pro. Not only their match, but also right at the end when everybody came out. A no disqualification match. Brandon Day and Tim Donst. Oh, I've got to do the first part because Mason missed it. Because you were like, what did I miss? I was like, I don't even know where you went. There was a trash can brought out, pretty much like Tim Donst had before. He threw it at Brandon Day and then he picked it up and put it over his head, which always looks good. Trash was all over the floor. All right. Oh, but they started fighting as soon as Tim Donst came into the ring. There was no ring bell or anything. Tim Donst got straight into the ring, and as soon as they were in, they just went head-to-head straight away and just started beating each other up and then spilled it to the outside.
Yeah, and Donst got hit with a chair multiple times, and a suicide dive into Day, and Day flies into the barricade. Tim Donst does a sleeper while sitting in a chair, and Donst is thrown bottom first into the chair, then Donst throws Day head first into the chair. And Donst ducked the chain punch, but DDT onto the chain, and Day chokes Donst with the chain for the win.
There was kind of a couple double swerves at the end. When we saw he had the chains in his hand and we knew the ref hadn't seen it, we're like, oh, he's just going to clock him with the chains and then that's going to be lights out and that'll be the end of the match. And then he'd already scouted it and then we're like, oh, Tim Dawson's going to win. And yeah, there was kind of a double swerve at the end. Now, you didn't mention one thing because we were arguing about this. Tim Dawson tried to bring the ring steps into the ring and he lifted them up, but it was kind of difficult. Now, I put that the ref helped him put the ring steps in because he kind of got him over the top rope, but then as he's holding them, he couldn't climb over as well because it was so heavy. So the ref was holding them, then Tim Dawson got in, and then he'd already lowered them to the ground. You had a different perspective, Mason, so...
I think that the ref was trying to pick it up and trying to throw it back out of the ring.
But Tim Dawson's stronger?
No, but the ref wasn't strong enough to lift the steps. So he dropped it next to the chairs while when he was trying to get it and throw it back out again, Tim Dawson grabbed it and put it on the chairs.
All right, I got a question for you. Why would he try and throw it out if it's a no disqualification match? Because you can use whatever weapons you like.
Because like you try and like keep the wrestler safe. That's what they do.
It's a no disqualification match.
I know, but they still tell people to.
So hitting him with a steel chair was okay.
No, it's perfectly
choking him with
fine.
A chain.
It's just they don't want them to do that because what have you ever seen a wrestler? A ref. Go when in WWE when they're on the top rope, they're like, get down, 5, 4.
Okay.
I mean 1, 2.
But that's a regular match. That's not a no disqualification match.
Yeah, but like, I think I saw somebody get disqualified in a no disqualification match.
There was one of those. I can't remember what it was. Yeah, it was some pay-per-view. I can't remember who it was. That's kind of... I'm trying to think, was it... It probably wasn't, but on top of my head, I'm thinking Roman Reigns or Lesnar. I think it was one of those matches. It was certainly around that era, anyway. All right, match 7, the PWI Ultra J title match. Cedric Alexander, who was one of the stars at the last Nova Pro event, against Shane Strickland. Now, I knew that you weren't familiar with Shane Strickland as much as I was. So, currently on NXT, he's Isaiah Swerve Scott. I had to look that up because I never remember that name. To me, he's always Shane Strickland. Mason, we always have one mention per episode. You must have thought, having gone past Arik's name, we were past this point. His signature move is a Space Jam. That's why I was laughing when this match was on, because you were like, what? And I was like, I'm not telling you right now, you can wait. He has a rating of 8.28, which is obviously very high. He has 100 ratings, though. Tracy Williams had 37, and Swerve Scott had 100 ratings. Basically, they're all 10, 9, or 8. I started to look through his championships. These are impressive, Mason. The PCW Ultra Heavyweight Champion for 100-plus days, the NGW Champion for 385 days, the PC Ultra Light Heavyweight Champion for 277 days, Defy World Champion for 147 days, the Evolve Champion, MLW Champion. That's what I've forgotten about. I was like, how do I know Shane Strickland? But I didn't watch it. I've never seen him on the indies. He was on MLW. I just totally forgot about that. And then he kind of left MLW. But that's where we first actually started to see him. He was also Defy Champion again for nearly 300 days. Lucha Underground Trios Champion for 600 days plus. He was killshot with that one. With Dante Fox, the Mac, and Son of Havoc. I guess they took it in turns which 3 or 4 was going. CZW World Heavyweight Champion. The WC Ringmaster Champion. WXW World Tag Team Champion with David Starr, CZW Wired Champion, the VOW Hypersonic Champion, and the CZW Wired Champion again. That's a pretty impressive resume right there. So I know that was somebody that... I didn't know all those ones, but I knew that he was a fantastic wrestler. Go ahead, tell us about this. I don't envy you doing this one because I was just watching it and you had to try and write stuff down. This is where I'm going to guess you're going to say, it was too good, I just watched it.
You said that his name was Killshot in Lucha Underground?
Yeah.
I'm probably wrong, but I feel like I thought that might be a Mortal Kombat person, because I heard them say that, I think, and when I was listening to Leveling Up with Benjamin Banks.
Okay.
Because I listened to the Mad Max Morrison.
Yeah, that's going to be our next episode, as it were. So yeah, you were researching. I forgot. You said like the first hour I was talking about Mortal Kombat.
Yeah.
So you had to kind of, you're like, I just skipped through that because I wanted to get to the... So you heard little bits
I listened to about like 15 minutes of it and then I got bored. Like, I'm not into it.
Well, I was glad after you told me, because I saw it was like an hour and 40 minutes. I was like, oof, that's kind of long. I'm glad I let you listen to this one instead. And then you were like, oh, just skip the first hour. So I did. And even then, it was still like another 10 minutes. But yeah, so I listened to the rest of it. But yeah, I was interested in the wrestling side and the film side and not so much the Mortal Kombat side.
And there was a random thought I had in this match. I don't think that Joey Ryan's going to do his lollipop gimmick anymore.
Yeah, I asked you that. I was like, what made you suddenly think of that?
I remember.
Can you remember the chain of events now?
Yeah, so I was thinking of the big stars of this one, because you said this is a really big match.
I agree, it was.
Big match.
Yeah.
And I was thinking of the big matches I've seen, mm-hmm. and I thought of Joey Ryan, and then I thought of him putting a lollipop in people's mouths.
Mm-hmm. That would be interesting. Yeah, that might... Although, he offers it. People don't have to accept it, of course. It's not like... Although, in the match, he kind of thrusts it in people's mouths. I'm sure they've approved it before the actual matches itself. But yeah, I don't know. There's a few like that. We actually asked... because Matt did his interview with the Ugly Ducklings the other week as well. And I actually asked if Rob would still do that. Because he, like, spits in his hand and then, like, shakes the other person's hand. Or when he's trying to get out and move, he, like, licks his hands and then pushes his hands down against his body and under their hands to break lock. And, yeah, there might be a few things that are going to change afterwards. If we get some banging on, we've got our six-year-old co-host who's not taking part right now above us, so we'll have to see how that goes. All right, keep going, Mason.
Shane's got to put on a he got his dingo put on the turnbuckle, and Shane and Cedric does a Jordan Oliver where they run around the ring and do a lot of flippy stuff.
It's funny, because while you were watching that, and I was thinking exactly the same thing, I was like, that looks just like that Jordan Oliver segment. There was just, like, so much movement, it was so fast, and at the end, they both slid out the ring so I could kind of take a break, and everyone in the audience was just, like, stood up and clapping. It just looked so impressive.
And Shane kicks ropes into Cedric's mouth, and Shane does a Pete Dunne finger twist thingy,
mm-hmm.
and Shane, he misses the 450, and Cedric does a Uranaki driver. Shane does a standing Spanish fly. And there's this super long Japanese kick that Cedric did to the face, which I don't know how to pronounce nor say.
Insegur?
No, it was I wrote it down what it kind of sounded like. Kind of sounded like a paradominaguri.
Oh, I think I might have. Yeah, I don't know what that is either.
Yeah. And Cedric wins with the Frankensteiner off the top rope into the Brainbuster and a lumbar check. And Cedric's, he did a speech about how this could be his last time at Nova Pro. And Fan gave Cedric a water bottle at the end when he was trying to go to the back, and he just sprayed it all over him.
And then he ran into the back. I think it was somebody he knew, because the guy actually, after he'd been squirted, kind of moved towards the entrance. I think he might have been one of the security people, possibly. It was certainly somebody who he clearly knew. I thought that the Brainbuster, I thought that was going to be the end of the match, and it was a kick out at two, and then, of course, he got his chance to do his lumbar check, which is obviously his signature move. What a finish. I actually posted, while we were watching this on Twitter, I think this... I'm not sure if it is the best one, because we haven't seen everything yet. I said, this has to be in the discussion for the best match ever at Nova Pro. I can't think of another one that we've seen that was as impressive as this. I know you want to say the street fight, probably, I'm guessing.
Yeah, PCO versus Tim Donst.
I'm not saying that wasn't a good match. Okay, let me phrase it this way, because I phrased it this way as we were watching the match. The best technical wrestling.
Because
there's a difference between wrestling and entertainment. And there's certain things that I can find entertaining that aren't wrestling. Like, I can love Orange Cassidy's matches, even if he doesn't necessarily wrestle. And in terms of technical wrestling, certainly I don't think we've had two people as good as this at that level. That's the thing I probably would... So if I specify it that way, I'm probably prepared to change my wording a little bit.
I believe it was Travis Huckabee wrestled Jonathan Gresham, which I really enjoyed.
That wouldn't surprise me either. Yeah, they're both very good technical wrestlers as well. Actually, until it ended, Sanjay Dutt and Jonathan Gresham as well. I know that's been a while, and that's when Sanjay Dutt got injured. I haven't seen that one in a long time, but yeah, those two were just, yeah, it was really good. I asked Sean from Squared Circle Sound Off, because we saw him in the crowd, what did he think? And yeah, he said the reaction was really good. And he actually said that, yeah, he won a poster from that event. That was a pretty cool one. Don't know if it was autographed, but he said that he got that framed and hung up. So yeah, that was pretty cool. Okay, match 8, tag team match. It was Cutie and the Beast, Bo Crockett and Innocent Isaiah, and Beauty and the Beast, Rob Matter and Steve Fierce.
And they were hailing from Walt Disney's Worst Nightmare.
Oh, yeah, I forgot that part. If you type in Beauty and the Beast, you get 13 matches on Cage Match. I'm like, oh my gosh. And there's not a single description. So I clicked on one, and one said like 1974. I was like, well, that's not them. Clicked on a second one, there was nothing there at all. And I was like, I give up. So anyway, I started going more for them individually, and then I managed to find something. And they were actually the freelance tag team champions from, let me look at this. I was going to, from 2016 for 7 months. Rob Matter's last match is actually listed as August 2018 when they won a number one contendership match at Freelance. It's kind of weird. If you win a number one contendership match and that's your last match, you would assume that you would have the championship match, lose on the biggest stage, and then possibly retire. So I was like, oh, I just guessed Rob retired. I then looked up Steve Fierce. His last match is also listed as August 2018. Now, we know that Cage Match isn't 100% accurate, and sometimes they miss things out. But yeah, don't exactly know what was happening on that one. I did write down on this one, and you said, please don't write that down, so I wrote it down even more after that. I'll be interested to hear what Mason has to say about this match, because you were commenting on how loud the cat was snoring while the match was going on. So let's see if you got anything for this one, particularly the finish. I'm going to be interested to hear.
Okay, so Rob can't go over the top rope to get into the ring, so he goes under the second rope, and Rob and Steve gang up on Isaiah while Bo distracts Steve with a full-size mirror so Isaiah can tag Bo, and a ringitis to Isaiah, and Cutie and the Beast win with a splash off the top rope.
And I got something for right after the match as well. As they celebrated, I think they've done this before, the dirty dancing move where they lift them up in the air by their waist and they kind of look like this. They're kind of like horizontal. He tried to do that. Bo tried to pick up innocent Isaiah. Didn't quite get it. And as he dropped him, he got in like a knee to the dingo as well. So it wasn't very elegant, but they kind of laughed it off and they went to the back. All right, the main event, match 9, was a 6-man tag team match. Alexander James, Bobby Shields, Logan East and LaRoe against John Kerman, Sean Studd and Sonjay Dutt. All right, Mason, we know about pretty much these people. I got one, actually, I wanted to talk about. We haven't seen Sean Studd in a while. We saw him at VCW, so I was kind of curious what happened to him recently. It said, actually, he only had one match listed on Cage Match since January 2019. So I'm actually wondering if he was injured. Now, this was kind of interesting as well, because can you remember at the last Nova Pro, American Slang, he didn't wrestle because...
He was injured.
So I don't know if he's just had a lot of injuries recently, and that might be why we haven't seen him too much on the places like VCW, and I don't know. March 17th, he posted on Twitter, "Welp, wedding is postponed, hashtag coronavirus." So I guess Sean Studd was expecting to get married, and then, it didn't happen. As all these things have happened. You can't have gatherings together of more than 10 people, so people's plans have kind of got postponed. Except, April 5th, my wife and I had our first argument. She said, "Don't get too excited about hashtag boneyard match because it's fake." So they were obviously watching WrestleMania. So I guess they just decided, hey, let's do a quick ceremony. Boom, and then we get... So, I don't know. So, I guess congratulations to Sean Studd. I think it's funny their first argument was over wrestling.
I mean,
she obviously
sense.
Knows he's a wrestler. It would be kind of... I don't know. I thought it was interesting that that would be their first argument that they had.
Yeah.
Okay, before you start, I know that you liked it. Now you have to start editing. There's certain nuances that you like. Like, I go, before I actually do my comment, you have to edit that. You know that you do the same. When you listen back to this, you're going to do the same thing.
I know, I hate when I do that. I hate when I do that.
Well, you got
like
edited, so you can edit all this out if you like.
No, I want to keep this in, but, like, I hate when I go, so, I would just rather keep my mouth shut and just edit the dead air.
I found one more that I do recently, and I didn't notice this until probably about a month and a half ago, and no one's ever said this to me at all. I say fantastic a lot.
You do?
Yeah. If something's really good, it's like my default word to go to. Like, this match was really fantastic. I didn't even know I said it. And I was listening to my editing, I was like, oh, I said that. And then like, next match, I said the same thing. And then I was like, oh my God, I said like 3 matches in a row. I didn't even realize that was a word I particularly use that much. But yeah, when you edit, you definitely notice more, more things about yourself that you don't like.
Yeah,
but...
you have your before a match, and I have my so... And it's so annoying. And the other thing that I have a pet peeve is when you say, like, in the middle of a word, you say, and it's, like, impossible to edit out.
You don't have to edit that out. That's not...
I know, but I try and edit as much as as I can in the middle of a sentence.
I tend to do that. You don't have to do that.
But when
all.
It's like straight after a word, if you go like they and, it's like impossible to edit out.
All right, let me see if this one, I don't know if you know this one. So after I've done my little introduction about the wrestlers, how do I let you do your turn? I have one that I say more than anything else.
Take it away, Mason.
All right, Mason, what you got for this one?
Oh.
That's the one I use all the
time. Yeah.
Somebody pointed that out to me very quickly, and I don't mind it because it's kind of a bit like a catchphrase-ish, but sometimes I'll mix it up. It's
your
like, all right, Mason, what you got?
Your catchphrase
you got for this
is
one?
Boom.
Right at the end. They just, I couldn't think of anything clever to say at the end. It's like, just, it's perfect. Once it's finished, you say that one word
just
and then you're over.
Walk away.
Rather than that's Jackson's tactic. With his, how are you going to finish your interview with John Kerman?
Right,
I'm just going to walk away.
Intro music.
You could, but it's kind of, it sounds weird if you just cut it off right at the end. So you need something to say like goodbye or... The one thing with podcasts was I did buy a book actually that first week before we had the equipment, and that arrived really quick from Amazon. It was like gave you tips to do. And one of the things it said was like the start should always be like the same. It's kind of like a routine. At the end, you need your like go-to thing to end with. So although I haven't been doing that all the time, it works pretty well now. I'm not the only one that does that. There are other podcasters that also end with boom.
Matt. Well, no. Not boom, but he says... This is Matt Wilson. We're out of here.
See, he has his own as well. Different podcasts have their own way of doing it. So it kind of works, actually. It's good to have that same bit of familiarity for each little episode. So that's probably about as far as my podcasting experience goes. Everything else, we've just been winging it. We're still using the phone as well. But that was one thing that I did. That's about the only thing I remember from that book. That was the one thing. It also said stick to the same time. So we switched from Fridays to Mondays, back to Fridays, and we're stuck on Monday. I think Mondays is the right day for us because we have the weekend then. Because we don't always know what's going to happen during the week.
True.
So I think it works perfect for us.
It doesn't matter right now. But...
It doesn't matter at all right now. But if we go to an indie event, if we can do it quickly, then we could always get it out for that day. Or if not, I think Monday is the perfect. Also, with us not talking about the WWE and something, we don't need to be the day after Raw. We don't need to be the day after SmackDown. So I think it makes perfect sense that we take the Monday when not really anything's happened over the weekend. Unless there's a pay-per-view event, perhaps. That would be the one exception.
If you review Raw and SmackDown, you don't want to release on Monday.
No, that would be the worst day to possibly go with that one. All right, should we talk about a six-match tag team?
Yeah. John Kerman, Big Sean Studd, Sanjay Dutt, they all start posing, and this is during the match, and the 1% mm-hmm. just attack all of them.
Now, I think, actually, and I didn't write this down, I think this is officially the start of the 1%. We started to see little bits of it last time, because Logan came out with Alexander James, and they supported each other. We knew that Bobby and Logan were kind of close together, but the fact they were all together on this one, I think we're going to see more development of the 1% in future events, for sure.
And you think that John Kerman is wearing shoes, but he definitely is not.
He wasn't. Yeah. We were about to ask him, and then you could see he wasn't, but he looked close.
Yeah, it was the shin pads on top of him. I think we had the same argument last time.
I think we did. It was a strap underneath as well that went around his
yeah.
foot, and it kind of just looked like the sole. And I thought he just had a light colored foot, but it was his foot. light colored sole, but it was actually just his foot. Yep. No, you're right.
And Alexander does his string arm lock with like when he grabs Bobby's arm, and then Bobby grabs Logan, and then they tried to go into the crowd, but nobody wanted to help them. And that happened at Flying V, where about 20 people got onto the chain.
That was funny.
Yeah. And Logan and Bobby, they do a double chokeslam. I mean, they get double chokeslam by Sean. And Sanjay does a Bermuda triangle. And John gets Logan into the triangle. And Sanjay jumps on top of Logan while he's in the triangle. And the 1% each get in a submission. And Sanjay, after that, Sanjay runs on the 1% into the DDT. Like, he steps on their faces while they're standing up, and he DDTs Logan. And Logan does a subprimal mortgage, and 1% kick each other. Then a triple super kick to Sanjay, and Logan finally got the pin after 6 months of trying. And the 1%, they dissect the ring and RKO to Sanjay on the wood part of the ring. Sanjay does a speech, and after that, I can't really hear, but I could hear that on September 11th, there's going to be a cage match. Mm-hmm.
He was calling for Logan because he was like, I think he just wants the match now. He was like, Logan! And they were all like, no, don't hold him back, because Bobby and Alexander James were holding him back. You did that deliberately just so you spoiled my last comment, because you knew what I was going to say for this one. Now, you have like two lines normally. Like, I'm like, that's it? That's all you had? You had more for that match than ever, because my comment I wrote down is, why were you more interested in the cat licking her butt than watching the match itself?
That's getting edited out. fine with that. I can edit out that.
You were watching that. I was like, this is like the finish. I'm like, you're going to miss the finish.
It was weird.
She was cleaning herself.
She was licking her butt, and then she licks her back straight after that, and we pet her back.
Except you're going to edit it all out.
I don't know, I might leave it in.
Yeah, you did that deliberately just for that point. Because normally I wrote things like that before. I was like, I can't remember last time as well. Something was going on. I'm like, you're just playing with a cat. Oh, you were playing with her. You were like poking her with a pencil or something.
No,
not poking with
she
her.
She wanted to
you
play
were trying
with a pencil.
To play with a pencil. I'm like, are you going to watch the match?
I do. I watch the match and play with her at the same time. And then when there's something, I take the pencil away and write with it.
Now, I don't know if we said this on the last one, but I got something clearly wrong. Because you kept saying, like, when's Mance Warner's match coming up? I'm sure I saw there was a Mance Warner match. It wasn't this one. It wasn't the next one either. I know one thing we did have a problem with in this one. Oh my gosh, the connectivity was terrible. We had a huge problem on the previous one. The first time, I think we only managed like 5 minutes.
Yeah.
And we had to watch this over multiple days to try and find it. Certainly if you try and watch it in the evening, no good. Not when you Chromecast anyway. I think what we should just do in the future is we'll have to try this. I watch it on my laptop, you watch it on your laptop, even if they're streaming at the same time, because we know it doesn't cut out after 15 minutes. And then just see how it goes. But yeah, this was painful. How many times did it stop? In fact, it cut out with like 2 minutes and 30 seconds left. I'm like, oh God. We had to reset it again. It goes right to the opening match with Ken Dixon. Then you got to scroll it all along to 2 hours and 38 minutes in. Yeah, this was 2 hours and 42 minutes. And that was within the intermissions edited out and everything else. So this was a long match. And as I'm walking through future ones, I actually said, oh look, there's the Commonwealth Cup. And you're like, oh God, no, that's going to be way too... 2 hours and 12 minutes, I think it said. I don't know. That's kind of strange. Anyway. All right. Anything else for this one?
Nope.
Boom.
It's goodbye from me.
And it's goodbye from me.
And it's goodbye from them.
Goodbye.
Music was Zigzag by Kevin MacLeod at incompetech.com. Licensed under Creative Commons by Attribution 3.0. http://creativecommons.org/licenses/by/3.0/